السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون، وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most mubarak day of the week, the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of increasing salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this mubarak day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our lives is the day of Jumu'ah. We were discussing the mubarak ahadith that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi had mentioned. From the galaxy of ahadith, approximately 500,000 ahadith, he had selected approximately 4,800 in his kitab Abu Dawud Sharif. And from this 4,800, he mentions that if an intelligent person practices upon four of them, it is sufficient for him. That this is sufficient for an intelligent person, a person of understanding. If he practices on these four ahadith, then this is sufficient for him. Now people like us, we like the essence of everything. We like things to be summarized. We don't have the time, the mental capacity and the ability to practice on too much. We are simple people. But these four ahadith are so encompassing, they're so broad spectrum, that if a person practices upon them properly, then inshallah this is sufficient for him. So anyway, we discussed on Imaniyat last time, the importance of Iman and the importance of Niyat. We spoke about how important Niyat is, innamal a'malu bi Niyat. Today we speak on one hadith from this four ahadith. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. That none of you is a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Now look how broad this is. What a big branch of deen this covers. That none of you is a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is the rawi of this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person that would like to be distanced from Jahannam and would like to enter Jannah, then he should pass away in such a condition that he passes away with Iman. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that he should treat people like how he would like people to treat him. So this is a broad usul. This is a broad principle, that treat people like how we would like people to treat us. Kama tadinu tudan, like how you deal with people, people will deal with you. There are a few incidents like this just for us to understand that how important it is to have and understand this principle. For example, if we are the boss, how we would like, if we were the employee, how we would have liked the boss to treat us, that is how we should be treating our employees. If we are, for example, the pupil in the class, how we would like the teacher to treat us, similarly we show that respect to the teacher. If, for example, I've got a neighbor, how I would like my neighbor to treat me, he's careful about the noise, he's careful about the way he goes about doing things, he's careful and kind and courteous, how I would like him to treat me, that is how I should be treating him. If I'm the son in the house, how I would like my father to treat me, that is how I should show respect to him. So like that in every aspect, how a person, if he was the wife, how he would have liked the husband to treat her, now like that he would treat the wife. So similarly it goes the other way. So every aspect we ask ourselves, how would we like the next person to treat us? If I'm a wealthy person and there is a poor person, now he should think that if I was poor, how would I would like a wealthy person to have treated me? That is how I should be treating a poor person. So like that in every aspect of our lives, if I was driving and there's a person that wants way, if I was the person that wanted way, how happy I would have got if somebody had given me way, so I give the next person way like that. So in every aspect a person is thinking that how should I treat the next person? Kama tadinu tudan, like how we treat people, that's how people will treat us. There's an incident mentioned by Qadi Abu Ali Tannukhi, this is mentioned in Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sharaf Riyadu Salihin, that there was one person that he got upset with his father. He got extremely upset and angry with his father. He had tied the legs of his father in his old age, and he started dragging him in the street because of that anger and fit of rage that he was with his father. They had come to a particular spot. Now the father is telling the son, please stop here, stop here. So now the son is surprised that, why are you asking me to stop here? So then the father now tells the son that there was a time in my life where I did the same thing to my father. I dragged him, but I stopped at this spot. Where you see the spot, this is where I stopped. Therefore, I'm asking you also to stop here. Don't go further than this. So this is how a person will treat his parents. This is how his children will treat him. And then there's another incident of a person who was a jeweler. Now this jeweler, he was a very pious person, and Allah Pak had given him a wife like that, that she was khubsurat and khubsirat, that she was very beautiful also, and she had very good akhlaq, very good woman she was, very pious woman. So one day when this jeweler had come home, he had seen that this wife of his was crying profusely. So he asks her that, why are you crying so much? So then she explains to him that, you see, this person, this khadim, this servant that we got in the house, he grew up in front of us. He was a young boy, we had him as a servant. He grew up in front of the house. Today when he brought the vegetables and he came into the house, he caught me on my hand and he started pressing my hand, and I could sense that he was doing it out of some type of passion. So I was so disturbed by his action that is why I'm crying. So this husband also was a pious man. He also started crying. So now the wife gets surprised that, why are you crying? So then he explained, you see, today somebody came into the shop. One woman came into the shop. A very beautiful woman had come into the shop. And she told me that, fit on these bangles for me. She bought those set of bangles. He was a jeweler. But she told me, fit on these bangles for me. So when I was fitting on the bangles for her, also I pressed her hand like that with some type of passion. So what I am seeing is the result of my own actions. So this is how you treat people. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause people to treat you. There is one incident that had taken place in Deoband many years ago. So there was an old man that was sitting at the shop side, at the side of his shop. And his son got very upset with him, got very upset and angry. It happens sometimes in the heat of the moment. Sometimes it's a very hot day, things are difficult. Now words are exchanged between the father and son. So the son lost himself. And when he lost himself, he had taken his father and he dumped him into one nali, like one small stream, one river there in India. You'll see quite a few places, there's those rivers and streams that are running along the side of the roads. So in that anger and a fit of rage, he took his father and he dumped him inside. So there was one person, one mitai seller in Deoband. So he mentions that, it struck me when I seen this happening, and I know, and we have learned from our seniors, like how a father treats his, like how a son treats his parents, like that his children will treat him. But I was a little bit surprised, because this man that had done that, he had four daughters. So who's going to do that type of thing to him, like how he did his father? He doesn't have any son. And we are told that the way you treat your father, this is how your son is going to treat you. So I was surprised at how this is possible with this type of man. So now this mitai seller, he narrates his stories. He says that later on in life, I seen with my own eyes. He said when this young boy now had become old, he had four daughters. He didn't have any sons. But one daughter, cladded in her burqa, she had lost her cool with her father now. She dragged him also and threw him in the nali. Then I realized that this is how true this is. That how you treat your parents, that is how your children will treat you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding this ayat of the Quran that I've read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That none of you will achieve the high ranks of piety until he spends of what he loves. This is sometimes the hard thing, that those things that we don't like, we give away, okay. But what we love, what is dear to us, do we spend of that? There was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Talha, Ansari radiallahu anhu, that he was one of the wealthy Sahabis of Medina. He had many, many orchards, the most amount of orchards perhaps he had. And there was one orchard that was very beloved to him. It was known as Biruha. And this orchard, just for our understanding purpose, the location of this orchard was such a unique location. It was facing Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our times also, if a person pictures and he can understand Masjid al-Nabawi, at the rear end of Masjid al-Nabawi, you got these hotels that are known as, one is Darul Taqwa, then you got the other one as Tayyiba, and then you got Hilton behind it. At that entrance going towards the Haram Sharif, just before the main doors, at the rear of the Haram, Just there was his orchard. And such a beautiful orchard it was, a big orchard. It was the most beloved resort or orchard to him, you could say. The water from there was sweet. It was very nice. It was in the proximity of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the proximity of the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would come there and he would drink from the water and he would take rest there. Can you imagine what a beloved orchard? So when this ayat came down, that none of you will reach the heights of piety until he spends of what he loves. He comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the thing that is most beloved to me, this orchard. And this is what Allah precisely wants us to spend. And I want to spend this in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that this, I can reach that height of piety. And this can be a means of deposit for me, a means of storage in the akhirat for me, a means of benefiting in akhirat. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to him, that perhaps you should give it to some of your family members, some of your heirs, they will benefit from this. But look at the love that Sahaba had. He could have easily made up some story, okay, this is something that is preferable, this is something that is desired, I don't have to give this, there are so much other things I'm giving. But when it came to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it came to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they didn't mince anything. Immediately, this is what Allah wants, this is what I'm prepared to do. I'm not going to sacrifice even one inch from the desire of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was once in a place near the bazaar, in the home of Khalid ibn Uqba radiallahu rahmatullahi alayhi, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Dinar was with him. So just two of them were there in this home. Just two of them were there in this place. Abdullah ibn Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhumah. Now one person had come there to speak to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhumah. So there was two, and now a third person came to speak to him privately. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhumah, told him, just wait, hang on, hold. He went and called a fourth person to come there. And then he said, right, now you can speak to me. Because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, La yatanaja ithnani duna wahidin, that two people shouldn't talk privately in front of one person. Why? That person may feel left out from the conversation. You may hurt him psychologically, you may hurt him emotionally, he may feel left out, that why are these people talking privately? But if there are more people in there, then there's no problem if two people talk privately. So because of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't want to go against the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, that's why I called the fourth person. See how careful they were about the feelings of others. We wouldn't like if two people are talking privately and they leave us out, especially if we are traveling and we are moving out somewhere, and if two people talk privately, a third person feels completely left out. So this is the beauty of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take into consideration people's emotional, people's psychological well-being, welfare, that a person doesn't even feel well left out. This is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this lesson that we learn in today's Jumu'ah is that what we desire, how we like others to treat us, this is how we treat others. What we love for ourselves, this is what we love for others. And sometimes it's just a means of a little lack of communication. It's just a lack of little bit of communication, and then what happens is people break up. People have hatred and enmity and envy for others. But it just requires a little bit of communication, a little bit of understanding, and a little bit of humility. Because humility is something that will take a person very, very far. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. It's an incident on the lighter side, but to make us understand that sometimes just a little bit of lack of communication and people can understand complete opposites. That is why it's nice to humble ourselves, and if we have any type of misunderstanding with any brother, go and ask that person for mafi, clarify and clear things up, keep our hearts clean, so that the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this heart is pure, we'll have a pure heart to take and present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to mention this incident and we'll terminate, that in the Arab world, when you ask a person for something and he doesn't have it, then he replies, mafi. For example, you go to the shop and you want milk, you'll say, halib fi, is there milk? The person doesn't have milk in his shop, he'll say, mafi, isn't milk. Or if you want to go and ask for a certain person, you'll ask, Muhammad fi, is Muhammad present? If Muhammad is not there, the person there will say, Muhammad mafi. So mafi means not here, he's not here. So anyway, there was one Pakistani brother that happened to come to the Multazam. And now, right there where the guard is, the security guard, stationed there by the Hajar-e Aswad. So this Pakistani brother, mashallah, he started crying. And today he said, I'm going to ask Allah Pak for mafi. I'm going to ask for complete forgiveness. So he started crying, Allah mafi, Allah mafi, Allah mafi. But the Arab guard is saying, Allah fi, Allah is here. Because he understood Allah mafi means Allah is not here. So this person is crying, Allah mafi, Allah make me maf. This is what he's saying. And this Arab is saying, Allah fi. So now that argument started taking. He's saying, oh, mafi. He's saying, Allah fi. But somebody who understood said, no. Both of you all are saying the right thing. It's just that you're not understanding each other. So sometimes communication is a thing like that. Both people may be seeing the right thing in their own right, but it's not understood by each other. Therefore, it is important to refer to somebody who understands and somebody who can explain and somebody who can guide. Sometimes small problems become very big problems just because of a lack of understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing this beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, bringing this usul and principle in our life, to treat others like how we would like others to treat us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.